The following is a presentation of Remnant.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Frank Garcia.
This morning, but I want to say this morning, as Victor was praying, that all of you in this room, when God looks at you, when His presence is on you, He doesn't see what you think He sees. We just see what's in front of us. We just see what we think is going to not help us or what's making us struggle. He doesn't see that. He sees us with eyes of love. Period. Jesus already died on the cross. God said, come as you are. Doesn't matter where you're at this morning or where you're at in life. He just said, come. That's all He asked. Come. That's all He said. Come. Amen. Let's pray before we start. God, thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. We love you so much, God. We praise you in this building this morning. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Father, reveal yourself to us this morning by your presence and the teaching of your word. As we get into the teaching of the day and week before you were crucified, your triumphal entry, Lord Jesus, thank you. Forgive us of our sins and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. We're periscoping the message, of course. I'm also a little excited again. A little bit more of my family has been coming. My little brother's here today as well. Give him a hand, please. He doesn't know this, or the other part of my family there in Brawley, that we're all praying for them, and then God's going to snatch them. You know, it doesn't matter where we're at. He's right there, and He's going to draw us, and He's going to have His way. We can run the other way all we want, guys, but He ain't going to let you go. That's how big His love is. Amen? Amen. Palm Sunday. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What does this all mean? What does this all mean? I firmly believe half of this building probably doesn't know what all this means. Let's read it and get into His word. Matthew, verse 21. Let me find it. Here it is. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11 reads like this. When they came near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage on Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead of Him. He said to them, go into the village ahead of you. You will find a donkey tied there and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them. That person will send them at once. This happened so that what the prophet said came true. Tell the people of Zion, your king is coming to you. He's gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, a young pack animal. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their coats on them for Jesus to sit on. Most of the people spread their coats on the road. Others cut out branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of Him and followed Him was shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, the whole city was in uproar. People were asking, who is this? The crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Amen. This is an interesting teaching for me, and it should be for all of us. Because what does it mean? I questioned it. Why do we celebrate it? Do you know? What does it all mean? If you notice in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, All the four gospel writers wrote about it. So it must have been a pretty important event. Jesus riding on a donkey, the palm branches, the shouting of Hosanna. What could all that mean? Is it symbolic? Yeah, possibly. Did it happen? Yes, it did. It's written. We just read it. A true event over 2,000 years ago. Why a donkey? Well, first of all, a donkey symbolized peace. A king, it was their custom, a king back then that rode into a city would ride on a donkey. It means there was peace in the city. And if a king rode in on a horse, that would symbolize war. The city was going to go to war. So there's a meaning between a donkey and a horse. Keep that in mind. Keep that in the back burner in this teaching this morning. The donkey and the horse. What about the palm branches? What is all that about? Why were they cutting down branches and putting them on the road for the Jesus to ride on? Well, the palm branches also were a custom, which it's kind of like our red carpet nowadays. When the president or Queen Elizabeth, they would roll out the red carpet. That's what these palm branches meant. It meant royalty was coming through. It meant power was coming through. And all these branches also meant, signified victory. The palm branches meant victory. Yay, we got victory. And then they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Like Victor asked earlier, what does Hosanna mean? It's pronounced Hosanna in the Greek, in the text, literally, which means save now. So glorifying their new Messiah that came in, their king. Hosanna, he comes here to save us. He's here to save his city, his people. You know what's interesting? What I found out in this teaching of this event? It's going to happen again in the future. I didn't know this, but this event is going to take place again. It will happen again. Look at Revelation 7:9. After these things, I saw a large crowd from every nation, tribe, people, and language. No one is able to count how many people there were. They were standing in front of the throne of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands. What's this taking place? The future, heaven, the throne of God. This is going to come again, folks. And sadly, many people are missing it. Many people aren't getting it. Even the Jewish people missed it. They failed to understand what was happening here. They were just caught up in the hype, the event, the shouting. Have you ever, some of you, it happens, you've been around a crowd, you kind of just going along with them, hey, yeah, yay, yeah. You get caught up. I'm glad my mom is here, and so is my brother. They know that one of my older brothers, you guys, I think I've said it before, remember Cesar Chavez years back, he'd do all these marches for the field workers? Well, one of my brothers was a teenager at the time, I believe. I'll say his name, Ruben, if he's watching Periscope, he's going to beat me up this week. He was a teenager, my older brother, so he just takes off with them marching wherever, all day he's gone, and he comes back at night, my parents can't find him, my mom's afraid and worried, where's our son, and he took off, yeah, he was hollering, Cesar, Cesar, he didn't know what was going on, he just wanted to look cool, his friends were with him, the homies were with him, so he walked and took off, and guess who waited for him till nighttime, my dad with the belt, my dad waited for him, I'll never forget it. Go look through the window. They were whipping him, boy. I don't think he left. Did he do that again, Mom? No more? He didn't do that no more? Ya no lo hizo. I don't know what happened after that, but I don't think my brother just left without permission. But you get caught up. And that's what happens to us as even Christians. We get caught up in the ruckus, in the moment. We just go with the flow. You see? But as Christians, folks, we're supposed to be like bass fish. I've said this before. Bass fish swim against the current, the opposite way, against what's coming against them. We got to keep going. God would tell you this morning, don't give up. Our Savior came already. Hosanna in the highest. He's already done what he's going to do for us in our lives, folks. We just got to walk in it. We got to go against the grain, go against the world, and go the other way and follow Jesus. Period. Is it easy? No. I have my days. My wife gets to partake in those. And it's our human side. But Jesus will give you peace. When in doubt, look up. I should have a sign like that in my house on my wall. When in doubt, look up. Look to Jesus, amen? And these people were missing it. You know what these people were excited and hyped up about? They wanted a political leader, a community saver, a flesh saver. Yes, help the Jews. Let's take them Romans down. Let's show them who we are. They wanted a political leader, a political Messiah, a materialistic leader. Folks, don't knock me on this. It's nothing wrong with having things, material things. God will bless those that bless God back. But don't let that come first. Don't put material things first. Don't go for those big dreams that will pull you away from God. It's okay to follow the dreams within your heart that are lined up with God. And if you're praying and seeking and really crying out to Him and staying connected with the church and the body of Christ, He will start opening those paths for you, just like these people did for Jesus. But they were looking for a political Messiah. They had the wrong perspective of Him. They were already tired of this, the Roman emperors and these powers just hounding them and putting more work on them. And I know a lot of you are going through stuff and it gets heavy and hard and wanting to give up. I have those days too, but I smile and I praise Jesus through it. You're supposed to glorify Him. He already won. He's the Messiah. He's coming back. We need to be found ready, folks. We need to be found ready. And the Jews missed it. Look at John 12, 16. Look at John, the book of John, chapter 12, verse 16 says this. At first, Jesus' disciples didn't know what these prophecies meant. It's right there. It was a prophetic event. This was the last week Jesus would be alive. If you knew you had 1 week to live, how would you carry your life? Live it to the best and glorify God. What if tomorrow is our last day and the Lord comes? How will you be found? It goes on. They didn't know what this meant. However, when Jesus was glorified, when was Jesus glorified? When He rose. Until then, they got it. You see, He already rose. We should be getting it. We've heard it. We read it. We see lives transformed. He's been glorified, folks. And then the disciples remembered that the prophecies had been written about Him. The disciples remembered that they had taken part in fulfilling this prophecy. Then they got it. Are you getting it? These are true events, folks. We're living in the last days, interesting times. Many people are coming to salvation. I know you guys see this too around your communities in your life. Churches are popping up everywhere because God's grace is coming in by abundance. Yeah, we see a lot of sin, a lot of evil, a lot of killing countries, third world countries, going through destructions and the weather. It's all part of prophecy. But where there's more evil, more grace abounds, the Bible says. Pray for your family members. Stay connected. Stay plugged in. Serve Him wholeheartedly. What then is the significance and meaning of Jesus' triumphal entry for us then? What is it? What is this meaning for us? Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? What can we learn from this event? Well, my first point is this. Palm Sunday assures us Jesus is the Messiah, not was. Jesus is the Messiah. What does Messiah mean? We're going to have some Bible school this morning. You're going to learn some biblical terms. You're going to leave here this morning, theologians, and you're going to apply it and use it out there in your lives to share it with other people, okay? Don't forget. Don't leave here and just leave what you learned here. Take it with you. Go apply it, and you'll see God's hand move in your life. Messiah, it means the anointed one, the correspondent to, the one that has power over all. That's the Greek word translation for Messiah, the one that has power over everything. What are you going through? Oh, I can't make it. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Which power are you depending on? You see? Oh, this will never change. My wife will never change. My husband will be a donkey all the time. Wives, pray for your husbands. Because you know what, wives? God already wired you to love your husbands. We don't know how to love our wives. We have to practice it. Jesus said it. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus loved the church. If you're a single parent here this morning, God bless you. You're both mom and dad, and you praise Jesus for that. He gives you what you have every day. He has given us everything we have, and He has power. Whatever problem you have, He's got it. He's had mine. Sometimes I tend to want to carry that issue, that problem, that situation. Oh, you know what, Jesus? This is for you. This is too heavy. I don't want this. And He'll gladly take it for you. The problem with people today is they don't want to do that. They want to carry it themselves. Oh, I got this. Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't need it. No, God, Jesus, no, I'm good. No, really, no, I'm good, really. Hey, I'm doing great today, yeah. We do that. Give it to Jesus. He's got power over all. And not only that, Jesus, through Scripture, even in the Old Testament, before Jesus was around physically, over and over through the whole Gospels, I'm the Messiah, I'm your Savior, I'm the bread of life, I'm your shepherd, miracle after miracle after miracle. Thousands of people would follow Him down the streets. One person would come up and ask, can you help me? One person. It's kind of like today. Crowds of churches of people everywhere right now having church. But one or two only will step up and cry to Jesus. We should be running to the altar. We should be chasing after God. We should be hungry to come into church and staying plugged in. But some other things are hungering you. Some other things are blocking you and you're letting it. We allow it. He has power over that. And He told them over and over. Look at Matthew 5:21. We just read it. Matthew 5:21. Look what it says. Tell the people of Zion that we just read it. Your king is coming to you. He is gentle, riding on a donkey. Big old hint. Big old hint right there. He's telling them, I'm coming on a donkey. Hello, you see the donkey? You guys are going to be shouting Hosanna, palm branches. They didn't get it. You know why they didn't get it again? They were caught up in the ruckus of the political leader. They were caught up in the flesh. They weren't focused on the prophecy of the Old Testament. And on top of that, Jesus quoted Scripture from the Old Testament. Look at Zechariah 9:9. He was reading Scripture. Zechariah 9:9 says this, rejoice with all your heart, people of Zion. Shout in triumph, people of Jerusalem. Hello, that was them. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. He is humble and rides on a donkey, on a colt, a young pack animal. He's quoting Scripture to them and they still missed it. They were too busy and the ruckus caught up in the moment. We lose focus that way, folks. I talk with a lot of you and you guys will come up to me and tell me, why is this person doing this? Why is this happening in my life? Because your focus is wrong. Your focus is not on the cross. Your focus is on doubt or anger or hate or envy, be it whatever. Your focus is not on Jesus. He's got it. That's why He came. That's why He came. There's over 70 references of Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior, our Helper. Over 70 of them in the whole Bible. And many people today don't even care about the things of God. Or celebrate Palm Sunday. Or even know what Palm Sunday is. There's a lot of people right now back home. We probably don't know. I might some know. Hungover asleep from a long night's partying. Or just decided not to come. We do that. Sacrifice. I know it's hard. I'm busy too, just like you. I work. I have a wife. Pay bills. Have family members. I wish I could tend to everyone, but I can't. Can you guys come over to my house this Sunday? We'll all talk. I want to greet you all. I haven't had a Sunday I can greet you all. I try so hard. It's hard being a leader to greet you all personally. So I'll greet you now personally. Hello. Hi, son, if you're watching on Periscope. My son's watching from Pasadena. We have a Bible study on Wednesdays in Brawley. There's a friend of mine, an old friend that I hadn't seen in years. She's coming to our Bible study. She's from another church in Brawley. Her sister's in Illinois, and we have her on the phone in Illinois. That's how hungry they are. They're in our Bible study over the phone from Illinois. Isn't that powerful what God can do? It's nothing we're doing. It's what Jesus does. When you believe and you have that faith, you start putting those doubts aside, that anger aside, He will move and you'll see His hand, literally. I see it all the time in your lives when you share with me the events that God does. It's good. But Frank, this is a hard one. It's good for you. It's refining you in that trial. He's teaching you something when it's not good. And you'll come out on the other side shining like gold. Many people today don't get it. But let me say this, and I put it in my notes. We sure know how to celebrate other events, huh? We don't forget all those other birthday parties, the carne asadas, the New Year's events, and whatever events you guys celebrate. We don't miss those. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there early. I'm going to get my clothes a week before. I'll be ready a week before. Have your suit already, your shoes, your clothes, and the events next week. But yet on Saturday night, you're sitting there going, nah, I don't think I want to go to church. Midweek, I don't want to go to Bible study. I'm tired. Jesus got tired too carrying that cross. But he didn't give up. He carried it for us. He didn't give up on you. He said, no, I'm going to make it. I'm going to go all the way over there to that mountain. And I'm going to let them nail me to the cross to show them how much I love them. He carried a 200-pound piece of wood. And we can't go to church, stay plugged in, or sacrifice a little bit. But we're good at celebrating our events, huh? Woohoo! Kind of frowns. I'm sure God saddens a little there. Well, they like those world events, and they can't make a Sunday. No wonder their lives are how they are. See? It's hard to say, folks, but it's biblical. I sit with people, and I tell them, read the Bible, pray. Are you praying? Are you reading? I don't have time. I don't either, and I read. We're reading 2 to 4 chapters every day, my wife. Every day. We read the Bible in a year. Me and my wife do this. We read the Bible every year, over and over in a year. 2 to 4 chapters every day. It's that easy. The reading plan's back there on the table somewhere. My wife prepared this some years back, and we've been using it. It doesn't take but 10 or 20 minutes, folks, to read actually 2 or 3 chapters. 10 to 20 minutes. If you're a slow reader like me, 20 minutes. My wife can read like a whole thesis in like an hour. She's a reader, I'm not. But God's improving me. He's giving me wisdom. I didn't care about reading or studying. But look what he does. Just because I'm willing to follow him, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be that bass fish. I know my Messiah came and defeated all powers over these kingdoms of this world. And we can do anything through Christ. The Bible teaches the Messiah will come again. But not on a donkey. Not on a donkey. Do I have that picture up there? Put it up there, please. That's how he's coming back. Does that look like a donkey? Does that look like a man that says, oh, come on, I'm going to help you? No, he's coming with power, with angels. He's riding on a white horse. He's coming to make war against those that didn't follow. And he's just going to tell them, I never knew you. You chose not to. Revelations 19:11, leave that picture there. It's this picture, Revelations 19:11. I saw heaven standing open. There was a white horse, and its rider is named Faithful and True. With integrity, he judges and wages war. See, we are not here to judge people. We're here to fish people out for Jesus and for the kingdom of God, period. If you're judging people, shame on you. If they're biblically not living a scriptural life, you bring it to them alone and talk with them. If they still don't listen, you bring a witness with you and confront them again. Look, this is sin, what you're doing. The Bible says so. First of all, I hope you're not committing that same act before you come and confront them. And the third time, they still don't listen to you. Bring some leaders from the church and confront that person. If that person still won't turn, there's not much we can do but let them go their way. It's their choice. See, God created us to have a choice, free will. He's not going to force his life on you or in you. You need to choose him. He'll come if you choose him. He's not going to force himself on you. But let me tell you, folks, he will over and over and over show you he does things through other people, through things that happen in your life. Every day he'll show you. There's a scripture somewhere in the Old Testament, I can't remember the address, but it says, all day we sang and danced to you. You didn't listen. Meaning God's right there always reminding us and telling us he's right there. He is the Messiah. But he's going to come and make war against the enemies of God. Jesus will be victorious. There will be a future victory celebration. He's going to win. It's already been won. He just needs to come back and take out all his enemies and take his people back. That's the future prophecy event that's coming. But are you ready? Will you be part of this glorious victory celebration? You can. You can if you want to. But you need to choose Jesus. It's the only way to live. It's for Jesus. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. That's how we know what Palm Sunday means, that the Messiah is coming. Secondly, Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. We already talked about it. You know what's funny? Through all of Jesus' lives, if you read his stories, he never wanted attention to himself, never, publicly never. He would heal someone and take off. They're like, oh, who did that? And Jesus would take off. He would run away. He didn't want publicity because he was giving glory to God and to the Holy Spirit. He was just that tool and vessel God was using to save people. God came in the flesh to save us, them in that time. And he didn't want that attention. But here, it's funny. Now he openly identifies himself as the Messiah. Yes, he's telling the crowd, yes, I'm here. That's me. That's right. You got this right this time. They got it right. But their focus was just wrong. They were still looking for that fleshly political leader and not a spiritual leader. As he identified himself. And when this took place, it infuriated the leaders of that time. The religious leaders, the priests, the pastors, the religious men were angry. Look at John 12:19. John 12:19 says this. The Pharisees said to each other, this is getting us nowhere. Look, the whole world is following him. Folks, it's been over 2,000 years now, and people are still following him. I've said this before. I haven't seen gatherings like this every Sunday and sometimes on Wednesdays or midweek services on studying about Abraham Lincoln or Hitler or George Washington. There's no Bible studies on them, is there? There's no events that take place week by week for 2,000 years now. This is the only book and this is the only man that's been prophesied and talked about even today. I'm that proof. I was lost, now I'm found. I was in sin, now I live in light. I am a child of the living God. He delivered me from all that perverted lifestyle I led, that I chose, that I brought on. He does that. All I did was Jesus come into my life. I believe in you. That's all it took. And now he's infuriating the leaders. These are the leaders. And when Jesus told the disciples, go get that donkey, it was all going to break loose right there. He knew exactly all that was going to take place. He knew what would happen when he told them, go get me that donkey. What was the first thing that was going to happen? He was going to get empty praises. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. That Sunday, that day, they were praising him. What happened a few days later? Crucify him. The same people? Does that sound familiar? Kind of like today, Christians that follow Jesus, and a few days later, they're turning back, doing their own things, their own way, struggling, hurt, lost, angry. That sounds like today. He knew empty praises were coming. They were praising them empty. What else would take place? It infuriate the leaders. We just read it. What are we seeing today with a lot of leaders? There's a lot of teachings out there, folks, that are not biblical. Some teachings just want your money. Some teachings follow this man. Some teachings tell you, don't follow this book, follow this book. Some teachings even say, men and women today say, follow me. I am your God. I am your Jesus. I know how to lead you. No, you don't. God's word does. The Holy Spirit leads us. So many false teachings right now, everywhere. How do you define the true teachings of Jesus Christ? When they have a Bible, when they talk about sin, repentance, the cross, and the resurrection, that's a true biblical teaching. If you're hearing anything else, watch out, step back, scoot back a little bit. Go read it. It's in here. The Torah, there's a lot of other books written like this book, copied from this book, changed from this book. They all mimic God's word. They've twisted it and perverted it. And these religious leaders were angry because they had it made. They were the priests and they did everything for them. Folks, this goes this deep. And back in this time, it's going to come out awful, but I'm going to say it. These religious leaders were so religious, they made the poorer Jews do all their work, clean their house. I kid you not, when they would go to the restroom, they even had them wipe them because it was their law. They couldn't do any work on the Sabbath. So they had the poor Jews clean them and wipe them and cook for them. They had made all these man-made rules. That's not in here. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. And that's what these men were doing. They were angry because their comfort zone was going to be taken away by Jesus. People don't want to struggle. We don't want to hurt, but it's part of this world because sin came in. People don't understand God. We think he's good and he's loving, which he is. But when sin came in, all these ugly things had to come. And people will always blame God, and it's not even him. He made the world perfect. He gave Adam and Eve everything they needed. And we sinned. He's giving us about just what we need right now, just enough. And some of us, folks, if he gives you more than you require, you're going to lose. You're going to take off on him. You'll leave him. That's why in the Old Testament, he only gave them a little bit of bread from heaven, the manna. He only gave them a little bit at a time to keep them going, because if he sent loaves of bread down, they would just kick back and gain weight and not care for God no more, just sit there and enjoy the blessings of God. But they don't want to go through things with God. Do you still love me? I love you guys. I just get passionate, folks. I get passionate. It's right here. I didn't know anything about this till I started reading and studying and applying it and sharing it with others. It's right there. But he knew these leaders would be furious. And only that. When he said, bring me the donkey, he even saw in the future his own friend that hung out with him was going to betray him for money. This world's ran by money, you know that, right? Nothing wrong with that. Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's okay for some of you to have money if you have it. Praise God. Use it wisely. Be good stewards of it. Share it when you can. Give to those that are in need. Amen. He called us to be good stewards. He knew all this would happen. Judas Iscariot. The amount of money he turned them in for then, you know what it's worth now today? I did my homework. You know what it's worth now today? $20. $20, which probably was a month's salary back then. He turned them in for $20. His own friend. Have you betrayed a friend? We have. We've hurt people. But Jesus can fix all that. The Messiah came to do all that. And Jesus, even though all this was going to come, he saw what was coming after this donkey ride in the week to come, the torture, the beating. Jesus knew it all, yet willingly followed through. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. It's right there. Would you give your life for someone? Are you willing to sacrifice some time, a moment, whatever the situation for someone? Or do you come first? Give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. I always like to use that one. Give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. Jesus said, always consider the other person first before yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I had so many problems in my past before Christ for many years. And once I started following the Lord, he started opening doors and opening doors and opening doors. Was it easy getting to where he has me now? No. You never make it there. You never get there. You just keep going, man, till he comes home for us. He takes us home. You just got to keep going and believing and living for Jesus. He laid down his life for us. See, so Palm Sunday should remind us of the cross. And to know how much he loves us. Would you let someone beat you to a pulp and then nail you to a cross and then come laugh at your face and say, okay, if you're a son of God, get off the cross. And would you still say, Father, forgive them? Yet someone offends us with one word and we can't forgive them? You want to be a powerful Christian and show God how much you love him, you start forgiving people. You'll see him move. You show him he's your Messiah, the corresponding one, your anointed one that will lead you. But a lot of us are afraid, doubt, or don't believe. Give him a chance. The Lord challenges you. And my last point is this. Palm Sunday teaches us that Jesus overcame death. Hallelujah. You know, I was afraid of dying. I didn't like going to funerals, seeing people in the caskets, cremation, whatever. Out there at the sites where they bury them. I go way back to where they actually covered the dirt. I was part of one of my mom's brothers years ago, passed away in Mexicali. We, all brothers and cousins, all the men, we literally buried him with shovels. I didn't like that. I was afraid of death. Now I'm not afraid of dying. You know why? Because I know where I'm going. It says it in here. Things are going to happen, folks. However it comes, if a plane lands on me at work, if a semi decides to smash me on my motorcycle, or a plane lands at home where me and my wife are having dinner, be it whatever, I know where I'm going. And some will cry. It's okay to cry when someone dies. Some will mourn. It's okay. We're all different. But if you have the assurance of the Messiah in your life, you should not be afraid of death because Jesus overcame it. See, our military today is powerful. Wow, the technology, the satellites, the computers, all these secret agent stuff, they can see through walls. Now they can find us through our iPhones and scanners, be it whatever. It even has us in awe. Wow, our country is awesome. USA, USA. We almost feel safe, huh? No one can mess with us, but yet we've been hit a few times. But we're crossing and blocking everything we can from the enemies coming in. But we can be in awe of our country, huh? But I'll tell you something, people, and everyone can hear my voice. There's one thing you cannot miss is death. Everyone must die. That appointment no one will miss. But can you be smiling like me and talking about it? Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 and 2, it's in there. Read it. Ecclesiastes is not on my notes. 7, chapter 7, I believe. Verse 1 and 2. It's better on the day of your death than on the day of your birth. People are afraid of dying. It's okay to be afraid, but trust where you're going. It's where you're going. See, nothing can protect us from dying. But my question to the church this morning is, where will you rise? Where will you rise? A lot of people think this body's done, buried, gone. Life's over. No, it isn't. We're a spiritual being. When we roll up this tent, this body goes to the ground and it passes, your spirit's going to go somewhere to eternity. And we know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and what God says, there's only two places. There's eternity with heaven or an eternal damnation in hell with all the non-believers and Satan and all his demons. All those people that were against God, that's where they'll be. Because God did not want to create a place called hell, but he had to because angels even turned on God. And thought they could replace God. Hell wasn't made for people. But people are making it a home for themselves nowadays. They even laugh. Yeah, I'm going to go to hell. I don't care. Well, God bless you. I don't want to go to hell. But I'll pray for you. And I always get this. People that smoke. Hey, Frank, if I smoke, will I go to hell? No, but it probably smell like you came from there. That's my answer, honestly. That's what I tell them. I'm very frank. God gave me that name for a reason. Mom, only you know. I was actually named after a saint. I've told you the testimony. I was born close to Francisco de Assis. He was a saint back in the days, and I was born right around his day, and my mom decided to give me. Who'd have known I turned into a saint? I was a little, man, I was bad. You guys have heard my stories. My mom, her gray hair, a quarter of those are my causing. I love when she comes to Bible study, she reminds the group, everyone, see this gray hair? That's him. Thanks, Mom. Praise God. But he overcame death. Jesus is the only one that can save us and overcome death. Look at Acts. Look at Acts 2:24. But God raised him from death to life and destroyed the pains of death because death had no power to hold him. He destroyed the pains of death. That's why the psalmist says, even though I walk through the shadow of death, have you ever gone into a shadow when it's sunny outside and go in the shadow and go, oh, that shadow hurts. Oh, man, but I got to go through the shadow. Oh, that shadow is really hard on me. It's just a passing when we pass from death to eternal life. Even though we pass through the shadow of death, we're all going to face it, in other words, but it's just a shadow. But where will you rise? Where will you rise? Nothing can hold him. And yet we trust and confide in other things. We worry about the smallest things of this world. Yet Jesus conquered death. And we're afraid of what we're facing, the situations we find ourselves in. And we're serving this powerful king, man, God, in the flesh. Man, wake up, church. We serve a mighty Messiah. There's nothing he can't do. Yet people are still looking for help in material things. Look at John 5:21. John 5:21. In the same way, the Father brings back the dead and gives them life. The Son gives to anyone who chooses. People that are still alive right now, like us, they have the chance to choose. And Jesus will give you life, life eternal. Jesus proved that even while he was still on earth, that he had power over death. Remember Lazarus, his friend? Jesus, our friend Lazarus died. Can you please come to the tomb? He died 4 days ago. Here he goes, Jesus. He shows up 4 days later. Where's he at? Jeez, Jesus, it's 4 days. He smells. He's probably rotting by now. What faith? Some of us are rotting right now. Living on a very unspiritual life. Some of us can smell as Christians. But Jesus can raise you back up. And you know why he said Lazarus rise? I know you know this. You're a Bible scholar. You should know this. He said Lazarus rise. Because if he just said, where is he right there? Rise. Guess what would happen? The whole cemetery would rise. All of them would come up. That's why he called them by name. And he calls all of you by name. He knows your name. He's going to raise us on the last day of our life. But which side of eternity will you be? Jesus proved he had power over death while still here. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus was far greater than any Roman Empire and all the armies of the world combined. That's how powerful he is. The Bible says, not in my notes, but when he comes, the whole world's going to see him. I've heard other scholars' teachings that I've always pondered, how if Jesus is going to come through Jerusalem, through the Eastern Gate, how am I going to see him on this side of the globe? Well, we have satellites, iPhones, everyone's going to see him through technology. Possibly, I believe this. I want to believe that we're all going to see him when he shows up. Because something happens back in the other side of the world. Don't we find out like that? Ooh, let's look it up. Who burned in Italy? Well, what happened? The tornado over there in Israel? And we just know like that. So when Jesus comes back, folks, we're all going to see him. He's going to come back. And no matter how many armies come against us, look at Isaiah 54, verse 15, 16, and 17. If anyone attacks you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will be defeated by you. I've created blacksmiths to fan the coals into flames and to produce useful weapons. I also created destroyers to bring destruction. Here it is. No weapon that has been made to be used against you will succeed. You will have an answer for anyone who accuses you. This is the inheritance of the Lord's servants. Their victory comes from me, declares the Lord. God can give you victory in whatever situation you're in, whatever battle or war you're facing. He will give you victory. You cannot do it on your own. You need your partner. You need your church. You need spiritual people around you. You need your Bible. You need to be reading. You need to be praying. And most of all, you need to be believing and not doubting. He overcame death. What more do you want? What more do you want? So Palm Sunday also revealed a sad, sad reality. And you know what it is? Jesus, as Lord, proved not to be true followers at all. All these people shouting, Hosanna, here comes our Savior in the highest. Let's get palm trees. I'm going to throw my shirt down. They weren't true followers. And I get this question a lot. You know what, Frank? I know so-and-so, and this happened through him so-and-so, and he was a Christian, and he turned back. What happened? Wasn't he saved? Was he? I told the person this. I don't know if he was truly saved or not, but how can you lose something you never had? Those Christians that become Christians will profess Jesus and turn back. In my belief, this is my personal perspective, they were never truly saved. They just professed it from their teeth and not from their heart. They didn't let God work in their lives and continue, because it clearly says in the New Testament, I don't know the address right now, I lost it memorably, but it says, Peter or John is speaking, those that turned back from us were never of us. They were never of us. They were just faking it, going along with the flow, but turned back. They were never truly saved. Do you feel saved today? You know you're going to heaven. Or are you part of the crowd? What about you? Are you a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? Are you genuine? Or are you those that turn back? Are you like the multitude? One day shouting, Hosanna, and then 2 days later cursing someone? Contemplate these thoughts and let the Lord work in your life. Worship team, come up. We're going to close with this last song. Are you like the multitudes who gave Jesus lip service one day, then a few days later, you want him out of your life, crucify him? He gave us the strength and courage to keep going. We choose to turn. We choose to stop. We choose to trust other things. That's where we fail. You know where most Christians fail the most? And I see it over and over. When they talk with me, they're always pointing the finger. So-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so is saying this about me, and so-and-so lives like this. Who cares? Work out your own salvation. Pray for them. We're not any perfect. Are you any better? We're all sinners before God. There's no one higher than no one in this room or in this world. Only Jesus Christ is a higher power. He is our Messiah. That's what Palm Sunday's about. He was going to face death on the cross, which will be talked about this Friday. You need to come hear the message of Good Friday. You need to come and hear that. Continue this story of what it all entails. Palm Sunday, a week later, they crucify him. And then in 3 days, he raises. I encourage you to come to these next 3 services so you can grasp the true meaning of what it is to follow Jesus. Many are following the wrong path. And I'll say this, may the Lord grant us the grace and the encouragement to make it. Amen? Let's pray. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Fix
my eye. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.